Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with David Nordquist, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us in our conversation is Steve Watson, partner in IBM's financial management practice. David, I'd like to continue transitioning to the future. Could you give us a sense of some of the key issues that will affect the CFOs and budget offices government-wide over the next couple of years?
I think the central issue that will be affecting CFOs government-wide over the next several years, particularly the next year, is recruiting and retention. As you look at the agencies like Homeland Security and then the Defense Department, who is continuing to expand its ability on the audits, there's an increasing demand for people with accounting skills, for people with CPAs, and as the size of the Defense Department begins to take its effect, you'll see that marketplace become very competitive, which means for the rest of the organizations who've been doing well, we'll be actively hiring their staff away and bring them onto our organizations, creating challenges for them. And Defense Department, of course, will be by far the largest player in that area as they move forward on the process. So it creates an incentive for us to focus on training our staff and expanding the pool of people with that skill set, as well as the retention to keep the people who've got the longevity to understand the issues and how to solve those challenges.
David, on a broader basis, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future? How do you envision your office will evolve over the next 5 years to meet these challenges?
Well, we're going to go through a transition over the next several years. We are going to shift from being focused on putting together those building blocks. Do you have a financial management manual? Do you have the right number of staff? Do you have the basic training courses? Can you establish a program for bringing people into your organization? Can you consolidate your systems? Those will either be done or well underway within the next year or two or next couple years, which means that what we're setting up for is, in my case, for my successor, that he or she can look at an entirely new set of choices. They won't be talking about the department as in transition or new. They'll be walking into a department as well established with as many of the features that would have expected as somewhere else. In fact, hopefully they'll see it as better because we've been able to have adopted the best practices of those other organizations as we went through it. But that will really create a whole new playing field. My hope for my successor is that they are not worried about the same issues that I am, that they're able to look at a whole range of new areas, efficiency of operations in some of our financial areas, things that move beyond the internal controls and the policy manuals and things that we've wanted to do to put that basic building block of a new agency in place.
David, having staff with the appropriate skills is obviously going to be key to achieving those objectives you've set out there. Would you elaborate on some of your human capital strategies? How are these programs helping you prepare future financial leaders for the department?
Well, there's one of the things that we started doing early on when I realized that weaknesses can come as much from people as from systems or policies was if you are a new hire in the Department of Homeland Security in the financial management field, whether you work for the Coast Guard, Customs and Border Protection, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, we bring you to Washington, D.C. for a central training class. Welcome on board. I don't want them to feel that they've been hired into the accounting office on the second floor of the Indianapolis office. I want them to recognize they've joined the department. And so they need to understand the mission of all the different components of the department. They also need to understand fiscal law. In my view, if you're in our financial management profession, you are the residential expert in that room on that meeting on fiscal law and internal controls. And you should feel both that you have the knowledge and the obligation to speak up if somebody is suggesting a policy or procedure that would create a problem. And in many cases, some of the government controls are not inherently obvious to someone who's not in our profession why you have that segregation of duties, why you have some of those other controls. So they need to be able to stand up and say, wait a second, we need to check the fiscal lawyers here to make sure that's an appropriate way. Maybe if we did it this way with the right notification, that would be the appropriate solution. So we go through that training with them, fiscal law, the budget, the audit, the overview of DHS and all the other components to ensure that everyone being hired into the financial management community inside DHS has that core skill set, that strong understanding of internal controls. It also helps because they get to meet the different CFOs. We have a panel. They get to see who the heads are of each of these organizations. Both times we've done it, the deputy has come and spoke. So it also is very effective for the morale of the folks to understand that what they do is important to the leadership of the department. We're also going to be promoting certifications. There's a number of organizations that provide certifications to the people in the financial management field. My office has put out an announcement to the components saying that we will sponsor those, we will pay for those, we will encourage people to apply for those certifications. I want them to be a professionalized workforce. And if they are willing to spend time and energy to study, to pass these exams, we're happy to pay the cost of them to take the sitting fee and the other associated costs with that. And I recognize that they may take that skill set and go work for some other component with inside DHS, but that's great. Because if they move from Coast Guard to ICE or from ICE to Secret Service, that's better for us as a department. And so we also focused on building that skill set. We'll have an award ceremony to recognize success. I think it's important for people who've been able to have as much success as we have had in the last few years to be able to be recognized for that. I think that's a positive reinforcement that's worth promoting. In addition to which, we have the CFO Mentorship Program. And this is really about preparing the financial leaders of tomorrow. I think you asked that as sort of the ending to your question, but I'll come to it here, Steve. When I looked across the department, I asked the question, where are the next set of CFOs coming from? If you look at Department of Defense or anywhere else, they have an entire pipeline. You go to colleges, you recruit, you bring them in, you promote them up, they move up. Our staff came from other agencies. They came from Treasury. They came from Justice. They came from the Drug Enforcement Agency. They came from the Department of the Navy. They weren't developed and promoted from within. And so I realized that we were going to have to establish training opportunities and developmental opportunities so we can build that next group of career civil servant CFOs. Our mentorship program is 4 months long. And they come in, and we've got 5 people in this year's class, and we had 5 in last year's. And they spend time with the different CFOs. They spent some time getting residential training and leadership training. And the idea is to expose them to the many challenges a CFO has. In the financial management field, most people are either from the budgeting side or the accounting side. A CFO has to manage both. And so if the mentor candidate is a budget background, we send them to work on the accounting side to understand the audit and how it relates and vice versa. And I think this really helps lay the groundwork for a future group of people who everyone can turn to and say, that's the next generation, that's the group of 15s and 14s that we look to promote over the next several years. Again, it's no guarantee. You have to compete just like anyone else. You don't have to go through the program to be selected. But by participating in it and by supporting it, I'm trying to promote, and I think we've been very successful in building that future cadre of managers.
So, David, we talk about maintaining this high-quality technical workforce, but what about at the front end in terms of attracting new employees to DHS or to the financial management ranks? What are you doing in this area?
We have a number of initiatives underway. We've done a lot of basic outreach, going out and setting up booths at jobs fairs and conferences and things to try and attract. We've reached out to other organizations to promote the opportunities. I think one of the things about DHS that is particularly appealing is it's really a place where you can make a difference. You can come in here, and if you work in the air financial management policy, we are writing new policy. We are putting in for places that didn't have it. You can come make a difference. If you are in any of these other areas, this is a place where you can wake up in the morning and recognize that what you did that week has really made a difference in making the world better. Whether you work in the financial management office or whether you're patrolling the border or whether you're doing checks on people boarding airplanes or whether you're looking for terrorists or you're protecting, rescuing people at sea, people at DHS consistently are able to wake up and point to the successes and the accomplishments that they have had and have that job satisfaction of knowing that the mission is really what made it successful. We're also in the financial management area setting up an internship program to bring in folks from universities. Most departments have those, but our staff, as I mentioned, came from other departments. And so with Congress's support, we'll be reaching out to universities looking for those people with CPAs or financial management interest to draw them into the department, give them the training and the rotational opportunities they need, and begin building that pipeline so we have a place to draw our GS-7s and GS-9s into our organization as opposed to simply always taking from other departments.
David, you're obviously very passionate about your work, and your success is unquestioned. So what advice could you give to a person who perhaps is out there, whether they're coming out of college or perhaps have several years in the work experience in the workforce? What do you tell them if they're thinking about a career in public service?
What I would tell them is to go where their passion is, to go where their heart takes them. This is not a job you do because it's going to make you large sums of money or it's going to make you famous. This is a job you do because you believe that you can make a difference. And so if you're really interested in boating and safety at sea and the Coast Guard is a place for you, go there because you need to have a job where you're going to really understand and feel that sense of accomplishment. If you're interested in uniform military service and protecting the country that way, there are great opportunities there. If you're interested in securing the border, there's a lot of hiring going on the border protection. But these are places where people can bring safety and security to their friends and family, wake up every day knowing they made a difference, interdicting a drug shipment, preventing a terrorist attack. Those are the types of things that you should look for. In the financial management field, I've always passionately cared about two things, and I've been able to do it throughout my entire career. The first is protecting the country, and the other is protecting the taxpayers' money. And there are very few jobs where you get to do both at the same time. And so I've been blessed by having that opportunity, and I would encourage folks who are interested in a career in government service, look for where your passion takes you. Look for the type of job where you can be satisfied with what you've accomplished and be able to look back on it with pride.
That's great, David. It sounds like there's something for everyone, and you guarantee a high level of satisfaction. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time this morning, David. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Steve and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our government in protecting our homeland.
Thank you, Al. Thank you, Steve, for having me on the show. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the success that we've had at the Department of Homeland Security, our improvement both in the audit and in internal control. I particularly thank all those hardworking folks in the department who day in and day out make all of this possible. If anyone is interested in the financial management career field at DHS, just email us your resume at cfojobs@dhs.gov. We'll let you know where the applications are, help you navigate your way through some of the job application process.
That's great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with David Norquist, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. My co-host has been Steve Watson, partner in IBM's financial management practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.